The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory be to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus prayed for his disciples, saying, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Friends, please be seated. First, let me extend a happy Mother's Day to all you mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers out there. Thank you for your ministry of love that you have given to all of us. The betrayer, Judas, had done his deed. His role in the Passion story cost him his very life. And now the company of apostles was down by one. And Peter was clear as he rose that day to call the fledgling Christian community to its responsibility. To fulfill the scriptures, it was necessary to replace Judas with another and restore the number to 12. Reflecting the fullness of the 12 tribes of Israel. I've often wondered how Matthias had felt that day, to be the player coming off the bench, the second stringer to take his place among the first string. Did he want to be chosen? Did he lobby and advocate for the position? Did he see justice as a competitor? Or did he secretly wish that somehow the responsibility not pass to him, but lie on justice's shoulders, that he somehow might be left off the hook of this awesome responsibility? The job criteria was succinctly delivered by Peter, one who has accompanied us during all the time that Jesus went in and out among us, and more importantly still, one who was with us as a witness to the resurrection. That is the duty of an apostle, to bear witness to the resurrected Christ. And yet, Isn't that the responsibility of all of us who are baptized Christians? In every church of Christ, in every parish, in every Christian community, we are first and foremost, our most important priority is above all to give witness to the resurrected and living Jesus Christ. The Book of Common Prayer describes the ministry of laypersons as bearing witness to Christ wherever they may be and to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world. Peter gave the job description of an apostle. This very similar job description is yours. Our call is to seek out the places where the love of Christ and reconciliation is so badly needed and to participate in God's work in restoring others to a relationship with God and a relationship to one another. Now, Matthias' name is never, ever mentioned again in Scripture. I think Luke, the author of the book of Acts, guided by the Holy Spirit, intended this to be so. For the Apostle Matthias is to be understood, I believe, as a sign of every Christian taking one's place in the company of the apostles. The account is very clear that Matthias is not selected by an up and down vote of the Christian community of 120 gathered there that day. Whatever you think of the selection process, it is clear that it was God who chose Matthias. It was the Spirit who chose Matthias. And my brothers and sisters, the Spirit, God, has chosen each one of you to the lay ministry that I have described for you this morning, to bring reconciliation, to bear witness of the Christ to this whole hurting world. As a gospel lesson teaches us this morning, we are not of the world. Just as Christ is not of the world, we all belong to a separate kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God. Whatever country you may be from, whatever government you live underneath, your party, your citizenship, my brothers and sisters, is in that kingdom of God. But it is a citizenship that is to be lived out in an earthly application, in works of mercy and compassion, charity, love, justice, and equity. By doing these things, and telling others how much God loves them as we do these things and invite them into the family of God as we do these things, we give witness to the resurrected Christ. We are called to proclaim the good news of the brotherhood and the sisterhood of all God's children and to work to dismantle any system, all systems constructed by human beings that might oppress and divide people from one another. All those human constructions that keep humankind from joining together to become one family, which is our calling to become the family of God and to bring reconciliation that we all the people of this world, might be who we truly are, God's children. It is God's will that we all be united as one in the same love that God has for his Son, Jesus Christ. And in this, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Our polar star should never be to make it in this world as the world sees making it. But our job, my brothers and sisters, is to remake the world. Remake the world into the kingdom of God. In this gospel work, our security, our center, our strength is never, ever in our own ability. You may say, this task is too great for me. For us, it is, if we were doing it on our own, but we don't do it on our own. Our hope is in the living Christ who is with us and in us and who walks with us and walks by our side and is a presence to us as we do his work in this world. In Christ's prayer this morning, in John's gospel, Jesus is quite explicit that he is praying for his own, his disciples, for his church, for us. Now, at first, that prayer may seem a bit odd to us. Jesus tells us that he's not praying on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those that are his church, all of us. That doesn't sound like the inclusiveness that we have come to know as the hallmark of Jesus' teaching. This seems like he's excluding the whole world and just praying for us. But perhaps we can see what Jesus is about in this prayer. He does not pray for the world, but he prays for the disciples because he, at this point, is entrusting to his disciples, to all of us, brothers and sisters, his own mission in this world. Christ is leaving. He's leaving his disciples. He's leaving us in the world. But he's leaving us the responsibility of doing his work. His concern for the world doesn't stop, but it takes the form here of praying for his disciples, praying for us to be faithful in making known and passing on his love to others, his ministry in this world. The torch passes to us, and that is why he's praying for us. It is a measure of that extraordinary responsibility he lays upon those who belong to him, and everyone in this room this morning belongs to him, has that responsibility. We don't do this also merely as individuals. We do it in community. This community belongs to Jesus. We are, each one of us, a different member of the body of Christ that comes together in unity to be the body of Christ, to do Christ's work in this world. All his saints here in this place. We are the body of Christ here in this world. We are his hands. We are his heart. We are his prophetic voice to speak truth to power, to stand against oppression, to give a cup of water to the needy beggar on the side of the road, to pray for the person in the nursing home, to love someone who is hated. That is our job. We now have Christ's mission, for we now are his body. And it is for one purpose and one purpose alone, that his kingdom of justice and equity and his loving will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Make no mistake, Jesus asks a lot of us this morning. But that's exactly why he prays for us. Think about it. How awesome that is that this very moment in time, Jesus is praying for each and every one of you, for the power, the commitment, the insight, and the steadfastness to change this world. Make it a place where God's will be done. Jesus prays for us unceasingly and
till the end of the age. God bless you all.